We're going to take a little bit of break from our normal learning of the Lamedes Melachos of Amir al-Nachri, and my head is in bar mitzvah mode. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be discussing bar mitzvah related issues this week and next week, and then the week afterwards, it's going to be Hanukkah. And then please God, after that, we're going to come back to regular sugyas of Amir al-Nachri and hopefully conclude our learning with that. So over Shabbos, I give a shiur that I don't believe any of you attended, so I'm going to re-give it here. And I thought it was a very interesting topic. I got a lot of feedback about it. And I'm curious your thoughts as well. So let me share my shiur sheets with you. And it's the topic of the bracha Baruch Shepterani, the bracha that a father says at his son's bar mitzvah, or when his son becomes bar mitzvah. And, oops, sorry. And what I want to do is learn a little bit about it with you and discuss it, the ins and the outs of it, some of the practical halachas that some of us may or may not have been familiar with. And really, it was for my personal edification of how exactly the mechanism, the mechanics of this bracha work, and why it is that we say it. So the truth is that the reason why I spoke about it last Shabbos was based on a medrash, where the medrash says, you don't have this yet on your source sheet, but the medrash says, Sarach Adam li tapel b'no ad gimel shana, that a person has to be involved with their child up until 13 years of age. Mikan ve'elech, Sarach shiyomar baruch shpterani me'on shol shalze. At 13 years old, they say a bracha, Baruch Shepatarani Me'on Sho Shalzeh, that good riddance, I am done with the problems of my son, I no longer need to worry about his sins. Now, obviously, that is a very strange bracha to make for two reasons. Number one, hashkafically, it's a little bit of a strange bracha to make. And number two, is you'll notice that at least the way it's recorded in the Medrash in Breishis Rabbah is that it's a bracha that does not have Shema Malchus. So this is quoted lahalacha in the Ramah, where the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, right? Again, you'll notice that the Ramah does not say it's a mitzvah, that he calls it a Yesh Omrim. Mishenase b'no bar mitzvah yavarech, he should make the following bracha. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech olam, shepatarani me'oncho shelzeh. So first the Ramah quotes this as a bracha that we say like we say any other bracha, one that we say with Shema Malchus, and then the Ramah equivocates at the end and says, V'tov levarech below Shema Malchus, but it's better to say it without Shem Malchus. So why is it that we would say this bracha without Shem Malchus? In other words, either this is a bona fide bracha, it's found in the Medrash, and therefore we should say it, or it's not a bona fide bracha, in which case, why do we bother saying it at all? Why is this almost this hedging of saying, you know what, we should say it, we just shouldn't say it with Shem Malchus? So the Divrei Chamudos, which I brought for you down here, and I'll zoom in a little bit for all of us who are getting a little bit older and eyesight's becoming a little bit more difficult. But first he quotes the Ma'aril, and the Ma'aril says that you say it with the full Shema Malchus, and then he says, but why does the Rama say to say it without? He says, V'tamo shel Rama, shekasav dev tov levarech below Shema Malchus. Why does the Rama say, nonetheless, to say it without Shema Malchus? Nirali shehu mibnei shalohus karabi gemara, says the Divrei Chamudos, the reason why you would say this bracha without Shema Malchus is because, while it's very nice that it's found in a medrash, where is this not found? This is not found in the Gemara anyways, and therefore, because it's not found in the Gemara, it's almost like a weaker form of a bracha, and because it's a weaker form of a bracha, we say it without Shema Malchus. The Gra, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, quotes all these opinions. He says, Ma'ari sigal bizmaner shebeno nase bar mitzvah v'kara b'torah, that this Rav, when his son became a bar mitzvah, hayim avarech alav baruch ata Hashem alakinu melech alam asher, right? He said the whole bracha was Shema Malchus. V'chein isa bim Mordechai ha-gadol, bracha zo b'shema Malchus, ad kad l'shono. He said, so too we find in the Mordechai this notion of saying this bracha with full Shema Malchus. Says the Gra, v'chein ikar. And that is what the mitzvah should be. The mitzvah should be to say it full-fledged, like you would say any other bracha, with a Shem U Malchus. Now, what's interesting to note is a comment by Rav Moshe Sternbach, which again, you don't have here, but I will read for you just one line, which I thought it was very interesting, Svara. Oftentimes, when we don't have a full Shem U Malchus, what do? Right, so the best example I can give you is Tfilas Aderech. So Tfilas Aderech does not begin Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, right? We start Yehi Ratzon Mafanecha. Now, what we do to kind of give an extra chashivas to bolster that bracha of Tfilas Aderech is we try to do it as a bracha smucha l'chavrita, which means we try to connect it with another bracha. So although my Tfilas Aderech does not start Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Nonetheless, if I connect it to a normal bracha, then that gives it that added chashivas, that gives it that added importance. So says Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, I have a great suggestion. Right before the father says Baruch Shev Tarani, what happens? The son's going to get his aliyah. So if the son has in mind to fulfill the mitzvah for the father, and the father has in mind to fulfill the Birchas HaTorah through his son, now it's as if the father is saying Birchas HaTorah. And if both of them have that kavana, then when the father immediately afterward says, Baruch Sheptarani Me'on Shol Shalzeh, it's a bracha, smucha l'chavrata, it's a bracha that's connected to the Birchas HaTorah, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, and that gives it the added chashivas, that gives it the added importance that you and I are looking for. Rav Moshe Sternbach does finish off this comment by saying, Aval davar zeh chiddush velo mevuar kein beposkim. He says, I recognize that what I just told you is a chiddush and is not found in the poskim. Nonetheless, despite this machlokes about whether you should say this bracha as a full-fledged bracha with Shema Malchus, or whether you say it B'li Shema Malchus, the minhag, I think, in most circles, at least I've never seen it said with Shema Malchus, any bar mitzvah I've ever been to, they've always said simply Baruch Shepetrani Me'on Shol Shalzeh. I know that's the nusach that's found in Art Scroll, that's the nusach that is found in Koren as well. What is the reason for this bracha? Right? And with this, we're going to find two interesting things in a comment in the Magen Avraham. Says the Magen Avraham the following, and again, I'll zoom in for you. Then when a child becomes 13 in one day, which means he's in his 14th year, if I had a dime for everyone who texted me, I guess Rabbi Rosner must have quoted it on his Daf Yomi Shir the other day, yesterday, because a lot of people quoted this source, that the reason why it's Or La Arba Asar, that the reason why you search on the night of the 14th is because having to do with the Yetzirah. And it's comparable to a child when he comes bar mitzvah is already in his 14th year, and there's this whole lamdus about the child in his 14th year and his relationship with the Yetzer Hara, which I thought was very interesting. Okay, but nonetheless, so when a child becomes 13 years in one day, v'yachshav na'agu levarech b'shash enar mispalo kore b'shabbos rishona shaz noda l'rabim shu bar mitzvah. Why do we do this now? Why do we do it when the child is reading the Torah on Shabbos? Because it's some form of like publicity that you might not have known that Moshe Moskowitz is going to become bar mitzvah in two Shabboses. So when I get up there after his aliyah and say, Baruch Shepetarani Me'on Shol Shalzeh, good riddance, Moshe, now all of you will know, Mazel Tov, Rabbi Moskowitz is making a bar mitzvah for his son, Moshe. Now, what also is implicit in the Ramah is why do you do it on Shabbos, right? In other words, my son's Bo Bayom is going to be Motzei Shabbos Sunday. So it's going to be a full week, basically, before we celebrate his Bar Mitzvah and Shul. Maybe I should say Baruch Shepetarani that Motzei Shabbos. Maybe I should say it Sunday morning. If you want to argue that I say it with Kriyas HaTorah, I should say it Monday morning. Why am I going to wait until Shabbos? So the answer is exactly what the Ramah tells us. Shaz no de l'rabim shu Bar Mitzvah, right? The whole point is that there's some form of a publicity taking place surrounding this bracha. And so therefore, Barovam Hadras Melech, right? When are there going to be the most people? In all likelihood, in most shuls, the most people are going to be there on Shabbos morning. And that's why the minhag in general is to do it on Shabbos morning. Then he quotes the Yalkut Chadash, who says something that no parent wants to hear. But Shem Mitzvah Ala Adam Laso Suda Beyom Shenasu Beno Bar Mitzvah, Ki Yom Shenichnas L'Chuppah. That next Sunday, Motzei Shabbos Sunday, when my son is his Bo Bayom, I should make him a party like I make a chuppah. Now, what do you learn from that Magen Avraham? Right? You learn from that Magen Avraham that weddings back then were not as ostentatious as weddings are nowadays, right? Otherwise, I could tell you what people spend on weddings, they will not spend on the Bo Bayom of their bar mitzvah. Some people do, but certainly not this rabbi who's talking to you right now. Okay? But that's the minhag. But nonetheless, try to do something nice for the son on his Bo Bayom, to let him realize that it's a big day and that he's taking on the Olam Mitzvos, because while we will celebrate it next Shabbos, it's really this Sunday, it's this Motzei Shabbos Sunday, which is the big deal, right? That's when he actually becomes a Bar Mitzvah. That's when he takes on himself the yoke of a life of Torah Mitzvos. Then the Magen Avraham says, why are we making this, right? Why are we going through this whole hoopla of this bracha? What is the purpose of the bracha? So for this, the Magen Avraham quotes two opinions. And if you're going to remember anything from the Shir, you have to remember these two opinions, because everything else that we will discuss for the remainder of this Shir is going to come back to these two reasons. So you have to remember these two. Here we go. Perush. De'ad achshav ne'enash ha'av keshechata ben bishvil shelochancho. Why am I saying now that I am leaving myself of the burden of my son's averos? Says the Magen Avraham, because until now, right, ne'enashav keshechata ben, when Moshe Maskwit sins, it is my fault. Why? Because it is an indication that I did not prepare him properly to do the right thing. Right? So if he doesn't say a bracha, it's my fault. It means I didn't teach him properly how to say a bracha. If he doesn't learn Torah, it's my fault. It means I didn't teach him how to learn Torah. However, come Sunday night, come Saturday night, Sunday, and I'm going to get up there and say, Moshe, you're on your own, buddy. I've prepared you for 13 years. Now I'm done, and it's your responsibility. You make a bracha or not, your responsibility. You learn Torah or not, your responsibility. You give tzedakah or not, your responsibility. So up until the bar mitzvah, I am obligated for his mistakes. After his bar mitzvah, he's a full-fledged, bona fide member of Klal Yisrael, and now he's responsible for his own mistakes. Ah, good riddance. That, says the Magen Avraham, in approach number one, is why I say the bracha. Then he quotes a levush, a very difficult levush. He says, "Uvelavush perish ipcha, de'ad ata haben ne'nash ba'avonav." Says the levush, it's the exact opposite. That up until now, it's not me who's chayiv in Moshe's averos; it's Moshe who's chayiv in my averos. He is obligated in my sins. Once he becomes bar mitzvah, so there's a separation between the two of us, so to speak. And he looks at me and he says, "Dad, good riddance. All the mistakes you make and all the lush, all that, not my problem anymore. You're on your own at this point in time." Now, the trillion-dollar question, right, is that the Levush is very, very difficult to understand. Very, very difficult to understand. And the question that should be jumping out at you is what? So the question that should be jumping out at you, I didn't quote the primary source, but I quote it for you here, but I'm going to read it for you. And that's a comment of the Shach. Because says the Shach, oh, he has it here. Yeah. He says, "Ulam hashach bepeirushu ala Torah leparshas lech lecha mifarish al shehaben mevarich baruch shepterani meon shel shel abba." Right, according to the Levush, where it's Moshe Maskwitz who's ridding himself of my sins, who should make the bracha? Why should I make the bracha if he's getting rid of me? Right, the bracha says baruch shepterani meon shel shel zeh. The bracha only makes sense for me to say if it's me who's getting rid of him. If it's him who's getting rid of me, who should be making the bracha then? He should be making the bracha. So that's exactly what, according to the Shal's Tshuvas, Sholin Vidorshin, that's exactly what happens according to the Shach. According to the Shach, Moshe Maskwitz makes the bracha. And what are they arguing about? So he says, "V'nira shemachlokes zot teluya b'machlokes acheres." That machlokes of who says the bracha is really dependent on our machlokes. So he quotes the Magen Avraham, he quotes the Levush, and then he says the following: "Vim kein efsher ladas haMagen Avraham she'av ne'enash ba'avon haben." According to the Magen Avraham, where the father is punished for the sins of the son, lachein, therefore it makes sense. Bihigia haben legil yud gimel shana tzarich dafka ha'av lomar baruch shepaterani. So then it makes sense. The father, who's ridding himself of the obligations of his son averos, so he says baruch shepaterani. Avalashitas ha'levush. But according to the Levush, shehaben ne'enash b'avon aviv, that it's Moshe who's punished for my sins, lachein b'igia ben legil yud gimel shana, tzarech dafka haben lomar birchas shebaruch shebatani. It's the son who should make it. Now, what's interesting? He says, v'inivsa alacha shal av lomar brachazu, right? We obviously paskin that the father says it. And if you were here in person, you would be jumping out of your skin. You'd be jumping out of your seat and be yelling, "Rabbi Maskwitz, Rabbi Maskwitz." Why? Because it makes no sense. The bracha really makes no sense. Right, let me ask you a question. Let's say Reuven does not educate his son at all. Let's take easy names. Yaakov. Yaakov does not educate his sons at all. Reuven, he doesn't give them a Torah education. He doesn't teach them the Aleph Beis. He doesn't teach them how to give tzedakah. Yaakov is a manuvel. He doesn't teach his sons anything. All of a sudden, it comes time for Reuven's bar mitzvah. So Reuven gets his aliyah, right? The rabbi helps him say the brachos. And then Yaakov gets up there. He says, Baruch Shapatarani, Reuven, you're on your own. I'm not liable for your sins anymore. What would you say to Yaakov at that moment in time? He would say to Yaakov, is that fair? He didn't give him an education. He doesn't know the Aleph Beis. He doesn't know what the word tzedakah means. And all of a sudden, he's on his own to fulfill the mitzvahs? No. In other words, even the mistakes that Reuven makes after his bar mitzvah are a direct result of what? They're a direct result of the mistakes in chinuch that Yaakov made prior to the bar mitzvah. So therefore, says the Shoal in Adorshin, v'zeh tamua, he says, I don't understand this bracha at all. She'arechate haben she'acharei yud gimel shana. Heim totza'ah shel chinuch lekavei she'kibol haben b'terem yigil legil shana. Gimel shana. Right? In other words, it's a direct result. It's a totza'ah. It's a consequence of the mistakes that Yaakov made in educating Reuven up until the bar mitzvah. So he almost wonders, according to either opinion of the Magen Avraham, you have bombshell shilas. According to the Levush, I don't understand why the father's making the bracha, the son should be making the bracha. According to the Magen Avraham, it also doesn't make sense. Because if my son doesn't know how to do something come Sunday night, it's not his fault. You can't expect him to get a full Jewish education on the first day of being bar mitzvah. If I have not done my due diligence, my responsibility in educating my son, it now becomes not his fault, but it becomes my fault. So we saw already one nafkamina lahalacha between these two approaches in the Magen Avraham. Whether it's the son who's no longer liable for the mistakes of the father, or it's the father that's no longer liable for the mistakes of the son. What are some other nafkaminas lahalacha? So I'll share with you two here. They're not on your source sheets. But I'll share with you two here, and I think it fits beautifully into our exact chakira. Number one is the following. What about a father who is not the biological parent of the son? So it's a second marriage. Okay, let's take Yaakov and Rachel, just to make it easy. Okay, Yaakov is married to Rachel, but it's not their first marriage. Rachel was previously married to Johnny. Okay, and Rachel and Johnny had a son whose name was Yosef, and now Rachel's married to Yaakov. So Yaakov is not the biological parent of Yosef, but he, in all intents and purposes, is the father in the house. And he's the father figure in Yosef's life. So do they make the bracha, Baruch Shapatarani, at the bar mitzvah? So the Achronim point out that this is exactly our chakira. In other words, if the whole reason is the levush, that the son is no longer liable for the sins of the parent, based on the pasuk of Pokein, Avon, Avos, Al Banim, right, that children could be liable for the mistakes of the parents. Well, is Yaakov Yosef's biological parent? No, right? Yaakov's not Yosef's biological parent, and therefore Yosef should not be liable for the sins of Yaakov commits, and therefore the bracha would not be necessary whatsoever. However, you understand, like the first opinion in the Magen Avraham, that the whole purpose of the bracha is because the parent is no longer obligated in the chinuch of the child. Is Yaakov obligated in Yosef's chinuch? You betcha. Even though Yaakov is not the biological parent of Yosef, nonetheless, because he's the father figure in his life, he has taken on that burden of responsibility. So absolutely, he's obligated to educate and to teach Yosef how to live a life of Torah mitzvos. I'll give you another example. What about a grandparent? Okay, what about a grandparent? Is a grandparent, would a grandparent make this bracha in the absence of a parent? So again, it's the exact same calculation. On the one hand, in the absence of a parent, is a grandparent obligated to educate the child in a life of Torah and mitzvahs? Absolutely. And so therefore, according to the first opinion in the Magen Avraham, if it's the parent no longer liable for the sins of the son, same thing would apply to a grandparent. However, if you say that it's the biological connection, in other words, the son is no longer liable for the mistakes of the parent. Son's not liable for the mistakes of a grandparent. That only extends to the parent, the Achronim point out. And therefore, the son would not have to make the bracha. So we saw three nafkaminas lahalacha about whether or not, depending on which approach you follow in the Magen Avraham, how you would fall out halacha lamaisa. I'll point out also, interestingly, yeah, I was thinking that as I was saying it. I'm not sure. but it's not the way the Achor here. I'll read it to you how they present it. But they don't present it that way. But yes, I actually thought of that question, and I'm glad you asked it, because misery loves company, but I don't have a good answer for you. It's a good Shaila. Okay? Okay. The other question that's just raised with this, with regards to this, is, does the son have to be in the presence of the father? Right? So I'm going to make the bracha, Mirtz Hashem, in good health. COVID should disappear between now and then, and nobody should get sick. But I'm going to make the bracha, Mirtz Hashem, next Shabbos. Okay? Now, when I get up to make the bracha, let's say Moshe Moskowitz needed to use the restroom. So right after he finishes laning, he makes a beeline out of there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm midway through my bracha. I look down, my son's not there. Does my son need to be there for the actual bracha? What do you guys think? Well, it's very interesting, because the Achronim are meduyak into the verbiage of the bracha itself. Right? On the one hand, you could argue that why does the son have to be there? The whole purpose of the bracha is what? Is to publicize that he's being bar mitzvah. Right? What do I need him there for? Can't I acknowledge and absolve myself of his sins whether he's there or not there? On the other hand, you could argue, no, the whole point is that it's almost like this passing of the torch. And therefore, doesn't the son have to know about it to know that he's now obligated in key mitzvahs? The other thing they point out, interestingly, is what's the nusach of the bracha? The nusach of the bracha is Baruch Shepatrani Me'on Shel Shel Zeh. Right? The word Zeh generally connotes me pointing at something specific. Think about even what we say at Kriyas Yamsu. Zeh Keli Ve'anveyu. And Rashi over there tells us that they actually pointed to Hashem, right? Hashem was physically in front of them. That's what the word Zeh connotes. So some Achronim point out that because of the word Zeh, so the son actually has to actually be there in front of you. The Bzeil Chachma quotes all of this and says that no, that the son, while l'chachila, it's helpful for him to be there for you, it's not necessary. He actually quotes the Korban Nisanel, who says that that his, I think it was for him, or for his son, he was not there for the recitation of the bracha. Don't forget, back then, you used to go on business trips, and those business trips were months long, right? And you didn't control when you went on a business trip. You had to go, and you needed parnasa, and so they went, and they weren't always back for the bar mitzvah. Don't forget, bar mitzvahs weren't like they are nowadays. So he says that based on that, Korban Asanel, he says, l'chadchila, obviously the son does not need to be there, while l'chadchila, it's definitely a nice thing to do. Now, what's interesting is the Divrei Malkiel. Divrei Malkiel wondered, why does this bracha have to be made in public? Right? When should I, in theory, make this bracha? In theory, I should make this bracha this Motzei Shabbos at Marv. Right? My son, Dafko, wants a daven in a minyan where there's no avel. He's very excited and enthusiastic. Those who know him knows that he's always taken to shul and to davening. So he wants to daven from the amud the first chance that he can get. And so he's going to daven in a minyan this Motzei Shabbos with no avel so that he can daven Marv. Why, right after Marv, should I not get up there and say Baruch Shepatrani Me'on Shel Shel Zeh? Why am I either waiting for Kriyas HaTorah, which is what the Magen Avraham pointed out, or what else am I waiting for? I'm waiting for Shabbos, Kriyas HaTorah. Why am I doing either one of them? So the Magen Avraham already alluded to this notion of people being there, that there's some piersum, there's some public expression that surrounds this bracha. Now, the way the Magen Avraham had described it, it was simply letting people know about the bar mitzvah. Now, I don't really know what that means, right? I'll even show you the language, we'll review it. He says, right, She'az noda l'rabim shu bar mitzvah. I'm telling the public that he's bar mitzvah. Now, why do I need to tell the public that he's bar mitzvah? Is it because I want to get better gifts for my son, and if I do Baruch Shepatrani in a more public place, more people remember to give me? That's clearly not what the Magen Avraham is talking about. Right, so in all likelihood, the Magen Avraham is talking about practical, right? Practically, and Dr. Schwartz will appreciate this, but come Sunday morning or Monday morning when Amir Tzashem, Moshe Moskowitz comes to the 8 o'clock minute at BRS, Dr. Schwartz is going to breathe a little bit easier because he's going to have one additional person to count as his 10th man. And if he didn't know that Moshe Moskowitz was bar mitzvahed on Sunday already, he wouldn't know to count Moshe, and he might not have a minion properly when he really does. He wouldn't realize that he had a proper minion. That's the way I think Pshat is in the Magen Avraham. But the Divrei Malkiel understands it a little bit differently. And I think it's a beautiful idea. He quotes this idea. He says, V'al-yedezem is parsem, sh'az, sh'nasa gadol. Again, you come back to this notion of being mefarsim, that you're publicizing the notion of a boy becoming bar mitzvah. But he says, what do we care about that? V'nira hatam, dimidami la, listen to this, I never would have made this connection, lebirchas hoda. He says this is similar to a birchas hoda. This isn't just a statement of good riddance, Moshe Moskowitz, or Moshe Moskowitz saying to me, good riddance, daddy. No, this is a birchas hoda. I'm thanking Hashem. And therefore, should sarich be'asara v'trei minayu rabbanan. V'lazeh kavu birchas hagomel b'kriyas haTorah sh'az v'adai hayah Hashem asara. Why do we try to say birchas hagomel by kriyas haTorah? Because that's when you're gathered, you're guaranteed you have 10 men. But in theory, can I make birchas haTorah, can I make a birchas hagomel anytime? Of course I can. Right? V'hu adin hacha. Therefore, so to hear. It's not a din in kriyas haTorah. It's we want to have 10 people there. We want to have a set number of people to be mefarsim the miracle. Therefore, if I were to make a party next Sunday with 300 people, then for sure I'd make the bracha baruch shepatarnei. I wouldn't have to wait till the Shabbos afterwards, right? It's all where the most people are going to be. The adaraba azikar mitzvasa shel bracha, right? Ve'eich efshar shebe'eis ikar asimcha lo yivarech v'achar kach yivarech, right? So yes. If I were making a huge party on Sunday, 100%, I would say birchas, baruch shepatarnei on Sunday. But because really the party is going to be on Shabbos, right? That's when the most number of people are going to be there. So similar to birchas hagomel, where you want to publicize it as much as possible, so too baruch shepatarnei, I want to publicize it as much as possible. Now this is a very interesting comment to the Divrei Malkiel, and again, this is where I wish we were more in person. Because how do you understand the Divrei Malkiel? That this is a birchas hoda. I'm willing to bet that if I had asked you all at the beginning of this year to characterize and define the nature of this bracha, none of you would have said it's a birchas hoda. I certainly wouldn't have said it's a birchas hoda. And yet that's exactly how the Divrei Malkiel understands it. So for Shabbos, when I raised this, someone brought to me what I think is a very good understanding of it, which is that certainly in olden days, right, and certainly now as well. What a great bracha that a father is able to be at the bar mitzvah of his son. That a father is able to pass on the torch of the Mesorah to the next generation. What greater geshmak is there for a father or any relative, so to speak? And so therefore, what I'm actually publicizing, according to the Divrei Malkiel, is not simply getting rid of my obligation in educating my son. That's not at all what I'm doing. Rather, it's I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, thank you for bringing me to this day when I can pass on the torch to my son for a new generation of Kima Mitzvos, that I'm passing on the torch of the yoke of a life of Torah Mitzvos, that is deserving of a Birchas Hoda. What greater gratitude does one have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than bringing you to the day? We don't take anything for granted. We don't take for granted that fathers are at the bar mitzvahs of their sons. Certainly not then, and certainly not now as well. So once I understood in that way, I think the Divrei Malkiel is magnificent, because it takes what I think is a very difficult bracha to understand, and it repaints it, transforms it into a totally new bracha, where a father is overflowing with shevach and odah to Hashem. That's the bracha of Baruch Shepatarnei. Now, what's interesting is, coming back to our original chakira, is what about a bas mitzvah, right? Does one say this bracha at a bas mitzvah or not? So the Prima Gadim says the following, and it comes back exactly to our chakira, right? He says, "V'inei lama lo yivarech b'nekeva yud beishanim? Why don't you make this bracha for a girl? Leferish halavush, because again, think about the lavush. Debanim ketanim ne'enashim bishvil av, that sons are punished for the mistakes of their father, and when they become bar mitzvah, they are ridding themselves of that. Lo shna zecharim unikevos. That should make no difference between a boy and a girl. The same way my son is punished for my mistakes, my daughter is punished for my mistakes. Ulaman damar chinuch, yesh lomar de'ein mechuyiv l'chanech bito ketana. And on the other hand, if you say that the whole rationale is the chinuch, then, all right, yes, I have an obligation to educate my daughter, but it's different than my obligation to educate my son. And so depending on which side of the chakir you fall out on, says the Prima Gadim, you'll understand the obligation with regards to a daughter differently. The Kaf HaChaim writes here, as well. V'hashein mevarchin ala nekeva b'giyah l'tchilas yud, I assume that's beis, nearly atam mishum d'derech olam habas nizones mi beis aviyah. He has a different reason. Why don't you make this bracha at a bas mitzvah? Because there's a big difference between sons and daughters. Certainly in olden days. In olden days, when a boy became bar mitzvah, unless they were in Eloy and they were going to one of the most prominent yeshivas, they were going straight to the workforce, right? They were taking on an apprenticeship and they were learning to work and they were going to earn money to help support the family. So boys, by the age of 13, were really on their own. Girls were different. Girls, by and large, stayed in their parents' house until when? Until they became married. So therefore he says, Mishum tederech ha'olam habas nizones mi beis aviyah ad hanisuin. That because the daughter remains in her parents' house until the wedding, vim kein kevan shu tachas memshalto lizono lasio yacholo chicha gamkin. Therefore, since my daughter is still in my house, what can I also do to her? I can also tell her what to do and tell her what not to do. Right? She doesn't get to decide. I can still give her mussar. Vim kein lo niftar ad hanesuin. Therefore, my obligation to educate her is different than my obligation to educate my son. My obligation to educate my son ends at 13 because that's when he goes off to yeshiva. Or that's when he goes off to work. He's on his own at that point. He's responsible for himself. My daughter is different. Because my daughter stays in my house, I remain obligated in my requirement to educate her. And therefore, I wouldn't say the bracha. Therefore, he says, Ulatama sheni shelavush mishum shehi ne'eneshet becheto nira bebas sheish legamkin mazel shel something, right? Okay. Velotanish bechet ha'aval kein lo tiknu levarich. Right? Again, he gets to a similar calculation as the Prima Gadin, but he gets to it in a different way. And certainly his understanding of why a daughter would not be obligated until the bas mitzvah. I'm sorry, until she is married. Now, you can make the argument that what? If that's the case, when should you make the bracha baruch shepatrani for a daughter according to the Kaf HaChaim? Should make the bracha when she, at the wedding, right? So yes, for sons you make it at the bar mitzvah, but for daughters, according to the Kaf HaChaim, you should make it at the wedding. Again, I don't think anyone has ever done that, okay? Now, what's interesting is how much chashivas do we even give to the bas mitzvah in general, right? And this is obviously going to play back into our chakir. So Moshe Feinstein, in a very famous tshuva, rails against this notion of a bas mitzvah. He views it as a development that was based on the reform movement, the conservative movement, and therefore, Eish Lahava, Rav Moshe Feinstein was against it. He was even against making bar mitzvahs into the extent that we do. He says that really a bat mitzvah is just a large form of a birthday party, just a nice way of saying a birthday party. For the son, he's against it as well. And he says, but basically, I've already lost the fight on bar mitzvah, so I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. But certainly not a bat mitzvah at all. Certainly not in shul. Maybe in your house if you want to do it. Then again, it's just basically a glorified form. That was the word I was looking for. A glorified form of a birthday party. What's interesting, though, is Rav Avadia Yosef feels very differently. Rav Avadia Yosef first quotes our machlokas, right? The Levush, the Magen Avram. And then he says, wait a second. Does one have an obligation of chinuch when it comes to the daughter? So he quotes here the following. He quotes the Meiri, who says, right, b'shem ha'ish, sha'ish chayev l'chanech es bito, b'no l'mitzvos, b'zman aroi, l'fi inyan ha'mitzvah. Av bito chayev l'chanecho b'mash aroi, lo gamkein. In other words, the same way I am obligated to educate my son, I am also obligated to educate my daughter. Now, the way in the things that I teach my daughter might be different than the things that I teach my son. But at the end of the day, would we all not agree that my daughter has to know how to live a life of Torah mitzvos, that my daughter needs to know halacha, that my daughter needs to know how to observe, right? We would all agree with that, says Rav Avadia Yosef. And so therefore, while the obligation of chinuch might be different, it is still very much there. And therefore, he says, ulefi masha kasav, ina chinami shemavarech gam al bito. According to this, says Rav Avadia Yosef, you of course should make the bracha for a daughter as well. Especially if you're making this bracha without Shema Malchus, what do you lose? You're not worried about a bracha levatala. You're not worried, right? So what do you lose? He says, "V'leiz din tzarech boshesh." He says, you don't have to be embarrassed about it either. And so Rav Avadya Yosef argues that perhaps you should make this bracha for a daughter the same way you make it for a son. And then he goes into the notion of a bas mitzvah. He says, "Me'ata huva navo gam linin ha'sheila rishona im nachon la'aruch ha'gigas bas mitzvah labashi yigia legin yirbei shana." Shinir bevadei sheish mitzvah la'aruch suda v'simcha labas mitzvah. He says, of course you should make a bas mitzvah. Why? Shesuda's bar mitzvah ain't lo suda mitzvah gedolim izo, because a bar mitzvah is a big deal. Shenos nim lemakom, because what are you giving to Hashem? Shevach v'hodaya al shezacha hanar lios bar mitzvah v'gadol mitzvah v'ose. Right, I'm thanking Hashem that my son is now obligated mitzvos. If we believe what we say, that Rechananim and Akasha ratzah kadosh baruch l'zach Israel v'ir Torah mitzvos, that Torah mitzvos is a chus for us, so I'm going to be jumping for joy when my son becomes bar mitzvah. What a great chus that Klal Yisrael will be able to welcome in another card-carrying, full-fledged member of the tribe. He says, if that's the case, ve'abas b'yom shetikanes l'mitzvos, afal pishalo nagu, la'asos la'suda, maybe you're not going to make a suda. Im kol zeh tiye simcha b'osayom, you should, of course, have an enormous amount of joy. V'tilbosh b'big day Shabbos, you should get dressed up. V'im yesh la'kel yada tilbash beged chadash v'tivaruch shechiyanu v'tichaven, lift or simchas knisaso ba'ol mitzvos. He says you should wear a new garment and you should say a bracha of shechiyanu, because what a great simcha to be able to welcome a daughter into the ol of mitzvos as well. So what did we see here today? We saw here today a discussion about really the nature, the mechanism of how this bracha, this very strange bracha, Baruch Shetarani, actually works. We thought three ways that it works. Number one is the Magen Avraham says that it's the son getting rid of the sins of the child. That up until this point, I am obligated for the sins of my child. Once I say that bracha, he's on his own. The Levush says the exact opposite. No, it's the son getting rid of the sins of the father. That up until that point, he is punished for my sins. After that, because he's on his own, he's no longer punished for my sins. He makes the bracha. We saw nafkamina's lahalacha between those two, right? Who makes the bracha? Do I make the bracha? Does Moshe make the bracha? What happens if it's a second marriage? What happens if the grandparent does it? We saw all of those nafkamina's lahalacha. And then we saw the very interesting pshat, very interesting understanding of the Divrei Malkiel, third understanding of this bracha, that this is not a weird bracha. This is not having to do with sin. Rather, it's a great bracha to make. It's essentially a birchas hoda. It's an acknowledgement of gratitude to Hashem that I was zoche to see my son to this moment in his life. And there's no greater simcha than that. And so to express it, we were given this incredible bracha. And lastly, we saw how this all applies to a daughter as well. Does one make the bracha of Baruch Shepterani on a daughter? Surprisingly, Rav Ovadia Yosef was willing to be lenient on that. Of course, others not so much, but it really comes down to this chakira in general. And so again, I want to thank you, because while this was obviously prepared for the shir, ultimately this gave me an entirely new understanding of this bracha. And I think in general, it's a good education for all of us that before we say brachos, we should understand why we're saying it. We should understand what we're saying it for, so that we could have the proper kavana and really mean and really understand the purpose behind each and every